Kirschmeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of IRN, its advertisers, or affiliates.
Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest. And this evening, for the second hour, we have with us Edward Wisnant. How do you pronounce your name, Edward?
Last name is pronounced Wisnant.
Wisnant.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Edward Wisnant, who's written an interesting book called The Anthology of Stingy Bear's Adventures. The Anthology of Stingy Bear's Adventure. And Stingy Bear is a little bear. And Stingy Bear is a very selfish, self-centered little bear. And, of course, this is a series of children's stories using the backdrop of in modern-day life, you know, as approached from the bear's point of view, of course, you know, pointing out the inconsistencies and, of course, the problem we have with so many people, even our children today, who are so self-centered. And, of course, the battle, the struggle between the father who wants a disciplined child, the mother who just wants to let the children do whatever they want to. And you can't do that. Children have to be disciplined. They have to be brought up in the way of the Lord. They have to be brought up with an understanding that there's a right and there's a wrong way to do things. And it's, as one of my teachers told me many years ago, Pastor Roy Kraft, he said, you never have to teach a child to be bad. What you have to do is teach them to be good, because they're inherently bad, and we are all inherently bad, and of course that is the function of the parent, is to teach children to be good, and kind, and considerate, and generous. So, Edward, why don't you just go ahead and tell the story of your book, how you happen to write it, and what you hope to get accomplished through the book.
Okay. First off, the Anthology of Stingy Bear's Adventures is a series of 52 short stories about the antics and the misadventures of a little bear who's very greedy, self-centered, and frequently lazy. The book also has a lot of social and political satire that and economic information that will appeal to the more mature readers. In other words, this book gives members of the entire family material for discussion. I wrote this book to provoke people of all ages to think. I think I can explain a little bit more about why I wrote the book and why I wrote the book in the manner in which I did if I explain a little bit about my background. I was born in 1958. I grew up in a small town in the mountains of Colorado. And following graduation from high school in 1976, I attended the University of Colorado at Boulder, where in 1980 I graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree in Mechanical Engineering. And following graduation, I went to work in the defense industry until about the mid-1990s, where I worked in a declining manufacturing sector. And following a layoff in 2001, I and many of my former co-workers were unable to find any kind of viable work in our post-industrial economy. And subsequently, when my marriage broke up, I didn't get a chance to visit with my kids very often. I have three young children, and trying to make the most of my time with these kids, I used to tell them stories about Stingy Bear. And it got to the point where every weekend when I'd pick my kids up, they'd say, "Daddy, tell us about Stingy Bear." And I would. I'd have to have a new story every weekend for them. I tried to explain to them that Stingy Bear should serve as an example of how not to behave, how they should try to learn from his mistakes.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Advice Mike. Well, Ed, go right ahead. Means of getting ideas over. And so, when the limited time that you had with your children, you used Stingy Bear then as a vehicle to begin to transmit to them the basic principles of life that, of course, every child needs to understand.
Yes, and also, almost as important, I was trying to sometimes undo some of the propaganda that they were indoctrinated with in the public schools, as well as trying to undo some of the socialistic perspectives their mother, the social worker, might have been bombarding them with. And I was just trying to give them Daddy's perspective that's a little bit different than what they might receive during the other 6 days of the week. And so, like I said, I decided to start writing a book about these stories. One day during visitation, my daughter said, "Daddy, why don't you write a book about all these stories you've been telling us?" And, I got rummaged up $80 for a used Pentium 1 Windows 98 laptop computer, and I sat down and I wrote most of the stories out that I'd been telling my kids. And that eventually became the book, The Anthology of Stingy Bear's Adventures.
Well, it's really a very, very appealing book because it's written really with the idea that there's the Papa Bear. And the Papa Bear is, of course, trying to instill values into the Stingy Bear. Stingy Bear is an only son, and he is so greedy, he is so self-centered, he has all the attributes of an adolescent or a pre-adolescent that make them quite intolerable. And of course, there's Mama Bear, and Mama Bear, don't paddle him. You're going to hurt his self-esteem. Don't paddle him. You're going to break his impression of himself. He needs to. You don't want, of course, to change his attitude. Well, of course, Papa Bear is absolutely right. This little bear, Stingy Bear, needs, of course, to be disciplined. Mm-hmm. And of course, simply, I think you bring this out very well. And of course, it's the old biblical adage of spare the rod and spoil the child.
Mm-hmm.
Children need to be spanked. If you don't, why you see the end result here in America? Well, an undisciplined society where we have over 2 million Americans pushing almost the better part of 1% of our population. In fact, certainly solely 1% of our population is in prison, probation, or parole. And believe me, what a terrible lesson it is when you finally realize there are consequences.
Yes, sir.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess Ed Weisnapp, and we're talking about his book, of course, The Anthology of Stingy Bear's Adventures. And it's really got a wonderful cover on it because you see this big bear head, and then you see this nice suit he's wearing, and it looks just very, very human being with his bear's face on the top of it. And of course, using the idea that the bears are just like people, and they have a society just like people, and talking really about some of the social problems we have here at this time. How, you know, patriotism seems to be backing the government no matter what they do. I mean, if the government's killing people, doing all sorts of things to take away our freedom, why the patriots always back it? Patriotism, however, is not loyalty to the country. It's not loyalty to the government. It's loyalty to the Constitution and to those concepts of freedom. And of course, you bring these facts out, and you use the backdrop of your book to get this message across. So you pick the story up there, Ed.
Well, thank you. Yes, those are political messages that I try to convey. One of my favorite story in the entire book is the one entitled "The Fourth of July," and in which the story is definitely written on two separate levels. One, the celebration and the fun of playing with fireworks on the 4th of July, as seen by a young cub, and then the more solemn sacrificing aspect of the 4th of July is seen from the perspectives of the father and the grandfather who have served in the military and understand the price of freedom is not free. Another important thing I point out in the book is I try to present a strong father image, because in so many books that are being made these days, the authors make the father look fat, lazy, irresponsible, not the least bit intelligent. And so often in contemporary children's literature, the mother, the kids, even the family dog are made to look insightful and intelligent and motivated at the expense of the father. And so often when I take my kids to the bookstore to purchase a book so that, you know, to help them with their reading, I would often have to say to them, no, Daddy will not buy this book, because this author is making the father look foolish, and I won't spend my money on this. And it was my resistance to just be quiet and take it that motivated me to write this book, because I felt there were certain social messages that needed to be conveyed to young people that were not being presented in the trite and mundane themes brought forth in contemporary children's literature. Contemporary children's literature has themes like eat your vegetables, share your toys. Often, contemporary children's literature exercises poor grammar. And all of these things offended me. And I decided I can do better. And that's why I wrote the book. I also wrote the book. I used some pretty big words in it because I wanted to challenge the young readers upwardly so that they would expand their vocabulary.
And in fact, saw what you were doing, I think of these sitcoms where, you know, we have so many effeminate men out there.
Yes.
In fact, the whole idea that a macho, a masculine man, is something to be ridiculed. In fact, that was the message of All in the Family. You know, isn't he the fat, dumb, patriotic guy, you know, Archie Bunker, you know, the typical American. The idea that John Wayne, the hero, the man who stands for principles, who's willing to risk his life or give his life for principle.
Mm-hmm.
These ideas have been abandoned because there is a conscious effort to change our perspective and to use literature, to use certainly motion pictures and videos, to actually demasculinize men. And of course, they've done a good job of that. Most people don't understand that the testosterone levels of American men has dropped almost 50% over the last several decades, and this is why we have so many men who have a sexual dysfunction. Didn't happen by accident. So they not only play with our minds, they play with our physiology. They know what they're doing. They just don't want the American people ever to question why the testosterone level of our men has dropped so dramatically over the last 50 years, over the last 20 to 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, fortunately, you've had quite a few speakers on your programs in recent weeks who have helped to address many facets of that particular issue. And as you pointed out, the contemporary news media, entertainment media, educational system are all trying to neuter the father figure, make him inconsequential, make him dispensable. And the thing of it is, I decided to place some argument against that. In this book that I wrote, I have the father playing a very pivotal part. The decisions he makes aren't always the easiest decisions, but he tries to make the right decisions, and frequently he tries to make the right decisions against the principles of contemporary society, which makes the book rather provocative.
It really is, because it really is. It's entertaining reading, even for an adult. But of course, it's aimed primarily at children, to give them those principles and ideas that are so sorely lacking in most children's books, and certainly are completely removed from our cartoons. And so many of the ideas that are programmed into our children's minds, and people need to understand that most of the radio programs, most of the television programs are specifically designed to give our children a message. And
yes.
Not a good message at all. Our minds are molded, our tastes are formed, our ideas suggested, largely by people we have never heard of, those people who hold the reins of our media.
Yes. And, you know, another thing I try to bring forth in the book is the gradual erosion of our personal freedoms. And one of the government agencies that I talk about in at least five stories in the book is the Department of Bearland Security.
I really enjoyed that, Bearland Security, right?
Yeah, and they're always trying to alarm the general public about terrorists attacking the beloved Bearland. And there was one story about how Stingy Bear went to the airport, or the Bearport, as I called it, and managed to get himself arrested, and how he is now on the terrorist watch list, which has all kinds of social implications for this young cub. And in the book, I try to introduce a lot of vocabulary that kind of specific to the book, but it conveys social meaning, and it attracts the reader's attention. Words like bureau bears and educrats and pseudo-intellectual psychobabblers and plankton-eating tree huggers. Things that try to get the reader's attention and make them aware of the effects of some of the liberals in our society today.
Well, I think the thing I enjoyed the most was just the sound messages for children. You should not be selfish. Mm-hmm. You should be generous. You should be considerate. You should not be self-centered. And because this is a totally destructive situation. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to enter in, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I can sympathize with Ed in this book. So many families are breaking up today. Half of our families are ending in divorce. A lot of this is the programs that are being funneled into women's minds, you know, through the desperate housewives, the soap operas, things that glorify sexual infidelity, and, of course, hopping from one bed to another. And the emphasis on sexuality and eroticism in so many of our television programs today and in so many of our movies today. When was the last time you saw a movie that stressed sexual morality? Can you think back? What was the last time? And you just don't see it, because that is something that is not to be emphasized today. And that is, of course, how they are modifying what's going on in so many women. Really, of course, are taken in by this, that they simply want to find themselves. They want to make something different out of their lives without realizing that being a mother and being a wife is really why God put them here. That doesn't mean that they're just to be put down. They are partners. In fact, they are an important part of everything that we do. My wife is an important part of everything I do, and we couldn't do it without, like, she couldn't do what I do, I couldn't do what she does. It's a partnership, and life is a partnership, and this is what holds a marriage together, after the bloom of passion is long since gone. But I think it's so important that people understand there's a conscious effort to break up marriages, and I know, Ed, that you're a victim of that, and I'm sure that you've been deprived of so much of the opportunity to be with your children.
Well, yes. But like I say, whenever I get with my children, I try to make the most of the time. I try to make them aware of the fact that we live in a time when we're undergoing a radical change in our national character and in our social structure. And again, part of the book is to try to convey to them what these issues are and to think about them so they'd be better able to confront them as young adults.
And I think, of course, you're stressing this idea of the Office of Bearland Security, a parody on the Office of Homeland Security, and how the Office of Homeland Security, like the Gestapo in Hitler's Germany, is being used to control us. And, of course, we have to have an enemy. Of course, in Germany, it was the communists, or it was the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Here, of course, it's the terrorists, the Muslims. But the average Muslim here in America. We may disagree with them. We disagree with their religion, certainly. But the average Muslim is not a threat to America. The few people have been arrested, most have been released, but so many of those who have been arrested and convicted are the victims of agent provocateurs. People have taken them under their wing and indoctrinated them in the radical form of Islam and suggested doing terrible things that they never would have done otherwise. Because, you see, there are people with a different agenda, a different worldview. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and right now we have Kurt calling in from Monterey. Hi, Kurt. How are you doing?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Boy, book is really a parody on what's going on in our society today, using the idea of a grizzly bear society, where everybody has their own cave, and of course the mail is delivered to the cave address, and they have a very complicated society, very, very similar to what we have here in America today. Kurt, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah, I think I made a mistake here in emphasis. One of the biggest points I was making is, it is the church that undermined the family 135 years ago. It is the churches that attacked the authority of the father in his own home 135 years ago with temperance. My great-grandfather was in temperance, but it is the churches that attacked that and made the woman the head of the family at that point, which is quite contrary to the Bible and can only bring about chaos.
Well, I think they've done a pretty good job.
Yeah, the churches, and I think we need to be aware of that. Maybe restructure our churches. Maybe look at the Bible and look at what the church teaches and go, is it the same?
Yeah, that is a very interesting point, and I can see where it's very valid.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Kurt. Of course, one of the big problems we have today, really, is the fact that so many Christians are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, and they're being led into a new type of religion, one where they want to experience religion, they want to experience spirituality, and they're joining the emerging church movement. I talked to a minister's wife today who told me that members of the National Association of Evangelical Christians ministers were meeting in San Diego now, and the speakers down there from the emerging church, this new church that wants to take us into a new spirituality and get us used to yoga exercises, and that's how we open our minds to God. And walking the labyrinth, that's how we open our minds to God. And focusing on the flickering candlelights, that's how we open our minds to God. And of course, she was well aware, as I hope every one of our listeners are, this is not how you open your mind to the God of the Bible. You open your mind to the other God. You open your mind to the very devil who is the dominant force in our world today. And, of course, is the dominant force in Washington, D.C., moving America towards World War III. And we seem to have forgotten the simple messages of the Bible. Isn't it a shame we don't teach them any longer in our churches? Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest is Ed Weisnot, and we're talking about his anthology of Stinger Bear's adventures and his book, which is really a parody on modern-day life. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, I was just going to say, in reference to Kurt's comments, not only do men today need to pay attention to their position in the home and with their family, they also need to pay attention to their position in the church and its affairs, and basically get back to basics.
I believe that is absolutely true. And unfortunately, you know, the Bible lays out a specific plan for society and for the family,
mm-hmm,
and for man's relationship to government.
Yes.
And we've forgotten so much of this today.
And, you know, one of the things, because I was writing a book about bears, I had to be very careful not to assign any aspects of spirituality to the characters, because I didn't want to offend the potential Christian readership. And that is one of the unfortunate aspects about the book, because I had to treat an entire chapter about Christmas in a very, very secular way. But unfortunately, in our country today, there are a lot of people who celebrate Christmas in a very secular way. So, in some ways, I felt this book about animals didn't exactly give a totally unrealistic portrayal of Christmas as practiced by some members of society.
I don't think I would have been offended had you actually brought it in, that the animals, because, of course, it obviously is a parody on modern society, so I wouldn't have been offended if you'd had given them any spiritual inclinations, because I know that you're really not talking about grizzly bears. You're talking about American society today.
Yes.
And what's happening to our children. And and of course all the things, the other temptations they have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how do you function in this society? And
yes.
Without discipline, why, of course, you end up with a disorderly society. And, of course, when you have a disorderly society, then, well, you have to have something that gets you back. An orderly society, and those will not be ruled by God, will be ruled by tyrants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way we're headed today. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest is Ed Weisnot, and we're talking about his book, The Anthology of Stingy Bear's Adventures. And Stingy Bear is just a nasty little bear, but he really, he has just got all the bad attributes of a child who really has not been brought up properly, who's been spoiled rotten, and he's spoiled rotten because of his mother. I mean, that's the problem. The mother certainly doesn't want discipline. Doesn't want anything to happen that will, you know, hurt the child's self-esteem. And, of course, as Father Bear says, he's got too much self-esteem. And that's why he's doing all the wrong things. So you pick the story up there.
Well, I was going to say another interesting aspect of this story is the treatment of students in public schools, particularly male students. In one of the stories of the book, Stingy Bear's father is called in for a conference with the grade school principal. And the grade school principal recommends that young Solomon be given the medication Ritalin, not, of course, to be confused with any other common medications that's given to young students in our society today. And one of the things that I like to bring forth in this book is how Father Bear objects to his son being medicated with Ritalin. And how he says he doesn't want to make the pharmaceutical executives richer at the expense of his son's cognitive function. And he says how these politically correct multiculturalists in the school tolerate the perverse cause of every bear imaginable. It's no wonder they cannot understand the inclinations of a bear who's growing up naturally. Father Bear goes on to say public schools should teach cubs how to think, not what to think. And it's statements like these from Father Bear that show cognition of and the kind of guidance that fathers need to present when protecting their kids from people in society who would otherwise make decisions for them that are contrary to their best interests.
And of course, then you have the bear psychologist who is there, who is going to make... You know, and they want to bring the bear psychologist to see Stingy Bear.
Mm-hmm,
and
yes.
The father says, no way. He doesn't want the psychologist coming in. The psychologist, most of them are the most confused people on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They do not have the answers to society. Well, the answers to society and the answers to problems facing society today is fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And, of course, the psychologist wants to see how they make us feel better and reason with us. And you can't reason what's going on today. You either follow God's teachings or you don't. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ed Weisnot. And our telephone number here, if you'd like to call us, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Ed, would you like to get your telephone number out? Tell people how they can, do they have a website? Tell people how they can get the book?
Sure, I would be glad to. First off, if people would like to learn more about the book and order it, it's available at the internet website, www.stingybear.com. Stingy Bear is all one word, all lowercase letters. And if they don't have internet access, they can order it at Barnes & Noble Bookstore. And also, if anybody wishes to send me an email, my personal email address is edward248w, as in Wisnant, edward248w at yahoo.com. And I would be glad to get feedback from your listeners with regard to this broadcast and perhaps what they think of the book when they get a chance to read it.
We've commented in a letter that you've written to me that you've been listening to our programs for many years. Is that right?
Oh, yes, sir.
How'd you get started listening in the first place?
Well, I first listened to you off of the AM radio station in Johnstown, Colorado. I don't know if I can give out the call letters over the air.
Sure you can. That's all right.
Yeah, I first started listening to KHNC 1360 AM out of Johnstown, Colorado back in about 1992, back when Mr. Wiedemann first started up that radio station. I lived in Arvada, a suburb not too far from Johnstown, and I just thoroughly enjoyed his many guest speakers and his fine radio programs. And eventually, you, Dr. Stan, became one of the many speakers on that program, and your show was one of my favorite programs. Every time I get up to Denver, I always try to tune in at 8 o'clock in the morning so I can listen in on your message for the day. And, you know, I just, there's so much inspirational information to be gleaned from that radio station and from your radio program, Dr. Stan. And I've just been inspired all these many years by what you folks have had to say.
Well, I feel very, very flattered that I've been on that station you know, as long as I have. You know, some people come and go, but I came, and I've never been chided or asked to leave, and so I get up at 6 o'clock every morning so I can get on the program here at 7, which is 8 o'clock in Colorado, and it's a great time. It's drive time, and then, of course, very often they'll play the program again in the evening during drive time.
Yes.
And what an awesome opportunity to reach people with ideas, because we're involved in a battle of ideas. Of course, as you know, it's really a spiritual battle,
mm-hmm.
but you have to express it in form of ideas for people to understand, and you have to put it into historical perspective.
Yes.
And its political perspective, and lastly, of course, into its spiritual perspective. And I feel it's a privilege to be doing that 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
Yeah. And another thing I like about your radio program is you have a wide variety of highly intelligent and educated speakers from a variety of different backgrounds. And, you know, a person can really become very well informed on current events and global politics by listening to your guests.
Well, I'm fortunate to have good guests. And, of course, we try to talk about finance. We try to talk about health issues. We try to talk about history. And then, of course, we try to talk about current events. So you're not going to have to just hear one thing all the time, and yet that they all tie together. So I'm pleased to know that you're listening, and we have an excellent audience there in Colorado. And what a privilege it is to have the opportunity to talk to the people there every single day.
Yes, believe me, you're very popular in the area. One of the things that I tried to put in my Stingy Bear book was even a section on the importance of investing in numismatic coins and gold and silver bullion, because we have a fiat money system, and as you know, our economy is in very precarious position for a wide variety of reasons.
And of course, you use the Stingy Bear stories to actually put over these ideas, these very fundamental ideas that everybody should be thinking about. I think that's really one of the strengths of the book. But, you know, children, every child is not going to understand that, but you're implanting in the minds of children ideas that will be with them all the rest of their lives.
Yes, sir. And another thing is, what a young reader may not understand this year, they might understand next year, and as an adult, the book will take on an entirely different meaning.
Now, what age groups is this book really aimed at?
Well, I'd say it's intended for readers from ages 10 to 110.
10 to 110.
Yeah. Now, I have to admit that, you know, I've tried not to make this book provocative in terms of being sexually suggestive or anything, but, you know, maybe for a kid under 10, it might not be that's suitable, or maybe the parents would want to review it first before turning their kid loose with it. But I tried to keep the book in very good taste in terms of morality.
Well, I think, of course, you did. And how do your children respond to the book?
Oh, they're enthralled with it. And, you know, one of the things that I find is rather interesting is my kids aren't just enthralled with it, they're convinced it's a kid's book. And so many of my friends and family who have reviewed the book say, "Oh, Eddie, this isn't a book. This is a book for an adult. This is too complicated for kids." And it's occurred to me that young people are reading one storyline into the book, and the more mature readers are reading another storyline into the book. But everybody is entertained.
And I think that's really very, very true. I could read the book as a 78 years of age and enjoy the stories of Stingy Bear. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And, of course, our society is in crisis because we've lost the fundamental truths of society and fundamental truths that are laid out in the Bible. And, of course, that is how you establish a society. You have to have something that binds it together, a common language. But, of course, there are those people who don't want a common language. Ideas. There are people who don't want common ideas. You know, a common faith. But everything is being done to destroy the faith of the American people and to introduce alternative faiths, not only into the general population, but into the churches themselves, as we begin moving them away from the teachings of the Bible towards experiencing Christ. Experiencing Christ. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when you begin getting into experiential Christianity, you're opening yourself up to demonic possession, which is not imaginary. It is really very, very real. Well, Ed, what sort of response have you gotten? How long has the book been out, and does it seem to be selling fairly well?
Well, the book has been out approximately 4 months, and no, it has not been selling very well. I have not had the opportunity up until now to advertise the book, tell people about its availability, and thusly, the sales have been slightly less than stellar. I am trying various strategies now to try to promote the book because, I definitely need to do something else besides my day job of looking for engineering work.
Were you able eventually to get a fairly good job in your field?
No. The last 5 years, our economy has had very little demand for engineers. As you know, your guest speaker on the last hour pointed out about how, you know, our infrastructure is dwindling, and I can attest firsthand to how over the course of the last 20 years, I've seen machines on the factory floors dismantled and palletized and shipped over to foreign countries. I've seen the file drawers emptied with all of the ISO procedures on all of the manufacturing and fabrication techniques. Those documents have all been shipped over to foreign countries and then translated into various third world languages. And thusly, you know, our country today is in a very precarious position because we're vulnerable because we don't have any manufacturing infrastructure left. And in the last hour, we were talking about the possibility of things getting even worse in the Middle East. And I sincerely hope that doesn't happen, not just because of the loss of life and the loss of property and human suffering, but because our country does not have the manufacturing infrastructure to manufacture the goods that are necessary to support a war effort. We can't be depending upon all of these foreign countries who are potentially hostile provide us with strategic goods when we can no longer manufacturing them amongst ourselves.
Well, you know, that is really the insanity of what's going on today. We have transferred a production of many of the essentials from for our warfare to communist China and to other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, these people are not our friends. They never will be. They want to dominate the world. We want to dominate the world. But if you destroy your manufacturing base, you cannot be, a great nation, and you cannot just continue to, continue growing. You have a totally fraudulent economic system built upon sand, and of course, pretty soon the whole thing will come unraveled. But so many of the high-tech electronic things, ideas, things that we need for our sophisticated weaponry are manufactured in communist China today. Does that make any sense? Well, not if you look at it logically. If you understand there's an entirely different agenda, then everything begins to make sense. People don't understand is that all during the Second World War, it was American corporations that were building the war materials that were being used in Germany to kill American boys. If you understand that, then maybe what's going on today does begin to make a lot more sense. But then most Americans don't know that, or most Americans don't have never heard of Operation Paperclip, where the CIA helped to funnel, most of the major Nazi war criminals to South America. Oh, a few were tried at Nuremberg, but Martin Bormann and, of course, Adolf Eichmann and Klaus Barbie and Dr. Mengele, the doctor who loved to torture and kill children, was smuggled to South America with the support of our CIA and MI6, where most of these Nazis either lived out their lives or they were allowed to come to America and work here and live out their lives comfortably. But the American people don't understand that. That's why they sort of are mystified by so much of what we're doing today to help our potential enemies. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're talking with Ed Weisnot about his book, the Anthology of Stingy Bear's Adventures. How old are your children getting now, Ed?
Well, my eldest daughter is age 10, and the twins, a boy and a girl, just turned 9.
All right, and then I'm sure that they've actually read the book.
Oh, yes, they helped me prepare the manuscript. I really wanted to make sure that they could read it before I submitted it to the publisher.
Of course, you have your story of Christmas, and how, of course, Stingy Bear wants to manipulate everything so he'll get more gifts at Christmas.
Yes.
Without any thought of anything else other than total selfishness. And this really is so like so many children today. They always want more. It doesn't matter what they have. There's always something else they want.
Yes, and also Stingy Bear frequently forgets to say thank you. And one of the things I try to point out in the book is, as it gradually goes on, some of Father Bear's lectures are apparently wearing off, because the young bear, from one end of the book to the next, starts to remember, say thank you once in a while.
Well, it has to, because you have to train children. You have to train them to be polite. You have to train them how to eat properly. You have to teach them table manners. And, of course, Stingy Bear's father does that all during, of course, the book, and he teaches them about not putting their elbows on the table or using their paws properly, and the advantages of being generous and being kind and being honest, and of course, Stingy Bear is always trying to manipulate things to his own advantage and taking advantage of his friends.
Mm-hmm. And he has yet to learn that it is in the giving that we receive.
Amen to that.
Another thing I try to put in the book is information on the economy. And, you were talking in the last hour about the introduction of this golden-colored coin, or $1 gold coin that's coming out here later this week. I believe one of the reasons the golden-colored $1 coin is coming out is so that it will free up the printing presses that are presently making our $1 bill, make those printing presses available to make $20 and $100 bills instead. That way, when the powers that be want to pump a lot of money into our economy, we'll have those presses available to make larger denomination notes.
Well, right there now, at the present time, they're really in the process of massively increasing the money supply, both M1, M2, and M3.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, but this is going on all throughout the world today. All of the countries, because there is no anchor for money, are churning out money, trying to keep the economy going in Europe and China and in other countries. But eventually comes the day of reckoning, because as you do this, eventually you get to the point where there's so many dollars, or yuan, or euros, or call it what you will, Deutschmarks or francs, eventually the money begins to lose all value. That's the history of fiat money systems throughout all time. And that is increasingly what's happening today. And if you look at what a dollar would buy in 1960 and what it'll buy today, there's no question. The house I bought for $42,000 in 1960 it has sold for well over $2 million. Of course, I didn't have it at the time. But what this happened with housing, it's happened with so many things. Even the food prices have gone up and gone up dramatically here. And you know, I remember when an artichoke you get three for a dollar, and now they're $3 or $4 each.
Well, the longer they prolong the inevitable financial crisis, the worse it's going to be.
And certainly, they're going to prolong it, but I think that they realize that they're end of that time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they need a war. A war is a wonderful cover for financial irresponsibility, and then out, of course, this is what they did, the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
We had to have the Second World War. It was the only way that they could get the economy going and destroy the value of the currency considerably, and then, of course, well, we blame that on the wicked Adolf Hitler. On the wicked Tojo over in Japan, never pointing the finger at the real engineers of our economic decline. And that was our own Federal Reserve System, a privately owned central bank designed to enrich the bankers and impoverish the people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program with Ed. Ed, get your website out one more time.
Okay, www.stingybear.com. Stingy Bear, all one word, all lowercase letters.
All right, fine. It's a fascinating read. It's a fun book. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Ed, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on your radio program tonight. Thank you. Like I said, the radio audience can order the book at website www.stingybear.com, and if they wish to email me, I can be reached at edward248w@yahoo.com. And one of the things I might point out in reference to your last comment about the last World War, during World War II, the United States had a very sound manufacturing and industrial infrastructure available with which to fight World War II with and to help the Allied countries. And today, we don't have that infrastructure and the manufacturing capability. And if we get into a big war, we're going to be up the proverbial creek without the essential means of propulsion. And so I sincerely hope our country does not get into another big war. And but I'm not real optimistic about the state of our economy right now. And like I said, I've tried to present some of these issues subtly in this book intended for children. So that's about all I have to say about the book. Like I say, Dr. Dan, thank you so much for having me on your radio program tonight. I've enjoyed visiting with you.
Well, I'm glad to get a chance to talk to you. And I think it's a good book to read. It gives you a sort of an overview of life, and it's much more than a children's book about bears, although of course with the background of the bears it will appeal to children. But of course Father Bear and Mother Bear are caricatures of so much of what's going on today. And, you know, there's so many mothers who don't realize that you have to have a father and you have to have discipline. Now, some women are wonderful disciplinarians, and maybe they're even better at it than their fathers, than their husbands are. But there are awful women today who have been schooled in the liberal theology in that never discipline your child, you're going to hurt them psychologically. And, of course, they have forgotten that admonition laid out so long ago. You spare the rod and you spoil the child. And remember what I said earlier. There never was a child that you had to teach to be bad. Every child is born inherently bad, and it's only a matter of degree. You don't have to teach them to be bad. You have to teach them to be good. And that is the job of parents. Well, Ed, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much for writing the book. God bless. I do well with the book.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tan.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Ed and the book. It is really a parody of what's going on in the world today. Let me just simply mention a couple of things, which we have done some programs on iodine, pointing out that most people in the Western world are deficient in iodine. They used to put iodine into our bread. They used to put iodine into our milk. They used to put iodine in all of the salt. And then somebody decided to take it out of the milk and out of the bread and substitute for iodine, which of course is a very toxic substance. And then, of course, to take iodine out of about half of our salt. And so there are many, many conditions which, of course, are aggravated by low levels of iodine. If you study what the difference between the Japanese diet and the American diet, the Japanese consume about 12.5 milligrams of iodine a day. Here we consume about 12.5 micrograms. In other words, they have almost 100 times more iodine in the diet in Japan than we do here. And of course, they have much less in the way of malignancies. They live longer in Japan than we do here. And there's so many diseases that seem to be iodine-linked, like fibrocystic disease of the breast. And there seems to be the breast need iodine. In fact, you need iodine for so many of the functions of your body. We have an excellent article written by Dr. Donald Miller, who will be our guest in about a week and a half here on Radio Liberty. We have a two-hour interview with Dr. Fletcher, a one-hour interview with Dr. Blaylock, and we'll soon have a four-tape set on iodine available for you. But if you're interested, of course, would like to order iodine, we are carrying something called Iodorol, which is a combination of iodine and iodide. Iodine being what is in Lugol's solution, iodide is an ionized form of iodine. So the two of them together seem to work better, at least according to the doctor who designed this. He's a retired professor of OBGYN who recognized the low iodine in so many of his patients and has set out, of course, to introduce these ideas. In fact, I talked to Professor Donald Miller, who's a professor of cardiac cardiopulmonary surgery at the University of Washington, who attended a meeting last week today of iodine and iodide. Iodine being what is in Lugol's solution, iodide is an ionized form of iodine. So the two of them together seem to work better, at least according to the doctor who designed this. He's a retired professor of OBGYN who recognized low iodine in so many of his patients and has set out, of course, to introduce these ideas. In fact, I talked to Professor Donald Miller, who's a professor of cardiac cardiopulmonary surgery at the University of Washington, who attended a meeting of Iodorol, which is a combination of iodine and iodide. Iodine being what is in Lugol's solution, iodide is an ionized form of iodine. So the two of them together seem to work better, at least according to the doctor who designed this. He's a retired professor of OBGYN who recognized low iodine in some of his patients and has set out, of course, to introduce these ideas. In fact, I talked to Professor Donald Miller, who's a professor of cardiopulmonary surgery at the University of Washington, just in the museum of iodine and iodide. Iodine being what is in Lugol's solution, iodide is an ionized form of iodine. So the two of them together seem to work better, at least according to the doctor who designed this. He's a retired professor of OBGYN who recognized low iodine in so many of his patients and has set out, of course, to introduce these ideas. In fact, I talked to Professor Donald Miller, who's a professor of cardiopulmonary surgery at the University of Washington, this week. We're having vitamin D. Why? Because it helps control infections and influenza, but it also helps to prevent tumor growth. There seems to be evidence that this is very effective and found Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Please hold your calls for the time being, because we have Corey Brackett with us on the line, and we're going to be talking about a video she's put together called Sweet Misery. But more than that, we're going to be talking about an organized plan to poison the American people. What most people do not understand is that for probably 15 years prior to 1980, the officials at the Federal Drug Administration had refused to certify aspartame, or NutraSweet, to be given to human beings, because in animals it produced brain cancers, it produced all sorts of neurological problems, and it produced pathological obesity. In fact, if you want to get any animal pathologically obese, well, you feed it NutraSweet. Haven't you ever noticed how fat so many of the people are drinking the diet drinks? Why do you think they're fat? You think they're drinking the diet drinks because they're fat? No, an awful lot of them are fat because they're drinking the diet drinks. And this was well known beforehand. And then, of course, during the Reagan transition team, when they came in the winter of 1980 and the beginning of 1981, and one of the men on that team was the head of Cereal that was trying to market the product, aspartame. His name was Donald Rumsfeld. And he twisted arms, and he called in all of his markers, and he got a deadly poison released to put in our food. Donald Rumsfeld, the same man who then went on to head a company that creates Tamiflu, and you wonder what the bird flu epidemic's all about, and my guess, we're all going to die of bird flu, and we're going to have to buy massive amounts of Tamiflu. And of course, Donald Rumsfeld has tremendous stock holdings in the very company. I believe it's Gilead that makes Tamiflu. So one of the people who's really benefiting from this whole scare of avian epidemic, which is, I fear, is very much being orchestrated for specific purposes most people don't understand, but under any circumstances, Donald Rumsfeld once again scores again. And the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And people develop brain tumors and progressive neurological disease. And one of those people was Corey Brackett. Hi, Corey. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Dr. Stan. It's good to be here. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, why don't you tell our listeners your story of what happened to you and how it was you became aware of the real problems with NutraSweet?
Sure. Well, first of all, I used to drink, about 6 to 8 cans of diet soda a day for 20 years. So I was a pretty heavy consumer. And in 2002, I started to have symptoms of multiple sclerosis and was diagnosed as such. And at first I panicked and couldn't believe what was going on. And then I started to finally do some research. And more often than not, aspartame kept coming up when I would look into multiple sclerosis. So eventually I went across the country with my husband, and we interviewed doctors and lawyers and activists and other people who say that they have had problems with aspartame, and we eventually wound up with the documentary Sweet Misery, A Poisoned World.
And of course we actually carry this DVD. We think it's an important part of this whole puzzle. Why are so many people pathologically obese today? Why is there such an increase in brain tumors across America? The FDA knows. They just don't want you to know. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Corey Brackett. Corey, pick up the story there. I assume, got completely off of aspartame.
Yes, we got completely off of the substance, and slowly I got better. My husband's thought processes and aim at darts and so forth improved greatly. His his hand-eye coordination improved. I improved from the point where at my worst point, where I was in a wheelchair, I had double vision and slurred speech. I couldn't raise my arms over my head. I was pretty bad. And today I'm walking around just fine, laughing, able to communicate, I hope, and am quite happy after I have changed the way I look at what I ingest into my body and the effect it might have on it.
Well, of course, it appears that there are multiple causes for a multiple sclerosis. In other words, they're not all related to that nutrient, are they?
Not at all. From what I understand, you're exactly right. There are several different forms.
And I think this is what people have to understand. Some of these are related to an autoimmune disease, and some of them are directly related to immunizations. We find, for instance, about a 300% increase in the incidence of multiple sclerosis in nurses who took the hepatitis B vaccine, foolish enough to take the hepatitis B vaccine, compared with nurses who did not. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we find this probably with certain types of, autoimmune disease. We find it with certain mycoplasma infections. And there may be other causes as well. But under any circumstances, there are certain people that you've actually encountered who've gotten off the aspartame and done dramatically better, haven't they?
Yes. Several of them are featured in Sweet Misery. And also we have some people who specifically had MS or were diagnosed with MS in our upcoming documentary, Sweet Remedy, The World Reacts to a Poisoned Food Supply. And in that documentary, there are examples of one woman in particular who went to her doctor and did a supervised reintroduction of aspartame into her diet after about a year of improvement, and she had to get off of it within 4 days of using it because she had slipped so far back into this agony.
Well, I think it's so vitally important that people understand that they have licensed a poison and they know it's a poison. Thank you, Donald Trump. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Of course, when Corey went around the country interviewing people, we were just saying off the air that there are a number of people who have MS who are not directly related to aspartame, and there's a certain number that are. And certainly autoimmune disease or vaccinations can bring this on. Probably other toxins, probably some of the chronic infections like mycoplasma, can play a definite part in not only MS, but anterior lateral sclerosis. Have you run into anybody who had so-called Lou Gehrig's disease that was related to aspartame?
Yes, actually a doctor, Dr. James Bowen, we interviewed, and he was fine and fit and swam a bunch every day. And then he was drinking aspartame juice, aspartame sweetened juice, and within days he was having a hard time climbing upstairs without, collapsing. And he eventually wound up with a picture, as he says, of Lou Gehrig's disease. And that was about 20 years ago.
And did he recognize what it was coming from and get off the contaminated juices?
Yes, he did. Now he writes quite a few papers on the subject, and he's well and survived. Lou Gehrig's is supposed to be a fatal disease that does not allow for people, from what I understand, to live as long as he is with, and he has far surpassed the prognosis that he received.
Oh, yes, it's a disease of young people. It's a progressive disease, and some people get to the point where they can't move anything at all. It's a horrible existence, and usually they die. So obviously, the fact that he's lived this long suggests that his disease is in total remission, just getting away from the aspartame and NutraSweet products. Now, of course, one of the people you interview is Dr. Roberts. Would you like to tell us a little bit about Dr. Roberts? Because actually we carry his two of his books. One of them is Aspartame, The Forgotten Disease, I think it is, or The Ignored Epidemic. And then we have another book he puts out. Of course, we have Dr. Blaylock's excellent book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. But you had an opportunity to talk to a lot of the people that really have delved into this, it got into the chemistry of this, and the government cover-up, because, you see, they're good people in government, but if they tell the truth, they're going to lose their jobs, they're going to lose their pension, and as a result, most people really don't have the courage to speak out, and they will contact me or other people, and maybe even people like Corey, and tell the truth, but, you know, certainly we can't talk about it publicly. So tell us what you have learned from talking to Dr. Roberts and Dr. Blaylock.
Both of those doctors are excellent doctors and free thinkers. Dr. Roberts wrote, as you said, aspartame disease. I think it's an ignored epidemic.
I think that you're absolutely right.
And that book is almost 1,000 pages long, and it's filled with case histories of people who, as he puts it, are aspartame reactors. And he's compiled these throughout the years and become somewhat of an expert on this. He named the term, he coined the term aspartame disease. A lot of people will say that, well, these case studies are really inconclusive because it's not a double-blind placebo study. But he has thousands of people in his book, and when you get to a certain point, it's not, you can't ignore the people that are retesting themselves on this, the substance, as he put it, 5, 10, 15 times, and they keep coming back with the same response. Then you're dealing with something that's quite a bit different. And Dr. Blaylock, I believe, is quite a brilliant man, too. He wrote, as you said, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, and he really is a wonderful resource on nutrition and behavior. He did a lecture recently, it's out on DVD, about that very topic. And he also really looks at, he says that even if you have MS, for example, for any one of the other reasons that you mentioned, it's still not a good idea to consume diet sodas or any aspartame-based product or containing product, because it is an excitotoxin. An excitotoxin is something that literally excites the brain cells to death.
I think that's just an important point. An excitotoxin, and that's what aspartame is, and that's, of course, what your MSG is. They stimulate the cells. And one reason why, of course, MSG adds to the taste and the aspartame adds to the sweetness is because they act on the brain cells, but they kill them. And there is no question, of course, that it, proven time and again experimentally, that it kills brain cells. Well, we get a lot of brain cells, but you use too much for too long a time, and pretty soon you begin running out of brain cells and cells in your spinal column, and this is the real problem.
So that's
these are
saying, I don't know you, but I really think that I would like to keep all the brain cells that I can.
I think we would all like to. And I think that's really so tragic, is they're not telling people. Did you run into this idea that aspartame produces pathological obesity?
Well, speaking from a personal perspective, when I got off of aspartame, I eventually lost 70 pounds without trying.
And I think it's really so amazing. We hear all of this propaganda. Oh, my goodness, we have so many people who are so obese. It's Colonel Sanders' fault. It's McDonald's' fault. It's, you know, and there are people in the government who have access to the same information that Corey and I do, and there's so much information up there. Betty Martini's information on aspartame and NutraSweet is up on the Internet. And if you go up there and just Google in aspartame, you'll come across certainly Betty's website. I think it's crossroad.to.
Doorway.com.
Doorway.com. Doorway.com. And you'll find a definite relationship to obesity. They've proven this time and again in animals. In fact, if you want to fatten an animal up, you put them on aspartame. So why would you feed it to human beings and then blame the colonel or McDonald's when the scientists working at the FDA know what's going on? And the answer to that is very simple. They want to keep their jobs, and they're more concerned with keeping their jobs than they are with the health of the American people, because there's also a relationship to cancer, isn't there?
Oh, yes. Brain tumors, there was a recent study in Italy that talked about lymphomas and leukemias and so forth being caused, and brain tumors, I think, was the other, you know, very specific things that they said. It was called the Ramazzini study.
And because a lot of these were done in animals, weren't they?
Yes, yes, they were long-term studies. Also, there was the National Cancer Institute came out right on the heels with the Ramazzini study in Italy, saying that, oh, aspartame is shown safe. We've done a study ourselves. But when you look at the study that they did, it's actually a survey, not a study, based on individuals' recollections. Oh, oops, what about the controlled double-blind placebo studies? They didn't seem to do that here. They looked more at a survey of people's recollections from the AARP, the Association of Retired Persons, and they looked at their recollections, and it was all general. They looked at their melon consumption, and they looked at their grapefruit consumption, and they looked at their coffee and tea consumption. And then they said, oh, do you sweeten your coffee or tea? They asked questions like that. It was very vague, and it was very unscientific. But when you read the headline, oh, the NCI says that aspartame is safe, then it seems like it must be true.
But, of course, you see, the thing is, there are laws. I think it's the Delaney Law or something of the sort that, you know, if something produces a cancer in animals, you can't give it to human beings, drugs.
Oh, that's a very good point.
But, of course, they totally ignore those laws, you know, and they have the products on the market that they want to, and they take the products off the market they don't want to, for instance. I mean, certainly sleeping tablets. I mean, how many of our listeners have seen that wonderful ad with the sleeping tablet where the greenest butterfly comes into the room and of course circulates around the room and everybody is going to sleep. Well, of course, people used to have an essential amino acid, L-tryptophan. Works very, very well. It's essential amino acid. And because one company had a recombinant form of the disease in Africa that produced an eosinophilic granuloma, eosinophilic myositis, and a few people died, because one company in Japan put out an improper product and all the rest of it was safe, you cannot buy L-tryptophan in the United States today for as a sleeping tablet. You've got to go to a proprietary and very expensive product. So they've outlawed the safe, easy things. And, of course, they keep things on the market. We don't know what product. Maybe it's perfectly safe. We don't know. But the one thing we can tell you, it's a lot more expensive than L-tryptophan ever was. And they're specifically suppressing L-tryptophan, not because, produced properly, there's any problem with it at all. Because they don't want competition for a product that's making some drug company a lot of money. So think of that next time you see the green butterfly fluttering through the window, of course, coming down on the person who's sleeping so peacefully. And understand, you know, that they actually have allowing products to be given to people in violation of our own laws that produce cancer and pathological obesity and neurological change and all sorts of terrible conditions in human beings. And you have to ask yourself, if this is really true, why aren't we hearing about this from Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity? Why aren't they hearing about it, Corey?
Well, if you take a look at the media consolidation that's going on, corporations, big corporations that have a vested interest in this very thing are the owners of a lot of the media companies, and there are very few owners of media companies nowadays. So,
and that's only five mega corporations control 90 to 95% of all the major means of communication. Gee, could that be why you're not getting the truth about what's really going on? Well, Corey, go ahead and pick the story up. What else did you learn in your travels around the country?
Oh, well, you know, I've learned a lot about PR and the workings of that. We were just talking a little bit about that. But also, you know, with the green butterfly that you were talking about with the sleeping aid in the commercial, that is a perfect example of PR. When you stress the emotions, you press the buttons of the emotions of the people, and you don't really stimulate their brain in their logical area. So you're getting people to want something because it has a bright colored box or somebody is smiling happily at the camera, even when there are, do not take this medication if you are under 20, over 30, pregnant, male, balding, or otherwise less than perfect type of thing. But yet somebody is on camera looking like they're really enjoying the pill, and if you take that, it's going to make everything okay. And unfortunately, that's not usually the truth. And instead of realizing that, I think a lot of people think that they're the exception to the rule rather than the rule itself.
Well, I think it's so vitally important that people begin to get the facts. And, of course, I tell our listeners that they're responsible for their health. We can only point you in the right direction to say Betty Martini's website at doorway.com. Doorway.com. I think there's only one O in that, isn't there?
Yes.
Oh, doorway.com. And get her information. She's got, page after page of scientific studies that, and the scientists know what's going on, but they don't have a voice. And their job is not to reach the people. Their job is to inform government officials, and the government officials know what's going on, but they want to keep their job, and they're much more concerned with keeping their job than they are with the health of the American people. And that's a rather sad commentary. Under any circumstances, why it's so vitally important that we get the information out. And the idea that brain tumors, this is one of the most horrible things in the world, and yet this was a consistent finding in animals that they would get brain tumors if they were fed on a regular basis aspartame or Nutrafeet. And this is one reason why for 15 years the Federal Drug Administration officials, and to their credit, they did what was right during the 1960s and 1970s, they kept aspartame out of the diet of the American people. Now they put it into the diet for children, so many of the things that you get in the way prepared proprietary food. Of course, they give it to our elderly, when they want to sweeten their things. But, I mean, the really frightening to me is that we are poisoning our children with a product that they know is going to produce brain tumors in a certain number of them and is going to produce all sorts of mental and neurological defects. And yet they do this with impunity because, after all, it's been cleared by the Federal Drug Administration. And if people in government would never do anything to harm you, is it possible that they would? How would you respond to that, Corey?
Well, once it's approved through the FDA, it got approved throughout the whole world, and that happens a lot. There's still the clout of an entity like the FDA. But, to me, without the evidence and without honestly looking at what's going on, there's a real problem.
Hold that thought, Corey. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Corey Brackett, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, because this is such an important subject, and you may not have heard about this before, but the fact that a tremendous number of the animals that were fed developed brain tumors and other types of tumors, and this is certainly not only done in the past, but recently demonstrated in recent studies, and Betty Martini has all sorts of scientific studies up on our website at doorway.com, D-O-R, only one O in doorway, .com, that will certainly verify exactly what I'm saying, the pathological obesity, the progressive neurological change, even the relationship to diabetes. And I think one reason that Dr. Roberts was so concerned about this, he's an endocrinologist, and certainly physicians and people who treat diabetes are giving people with diabetes aspartame for sweetener, and it actually aggravates the diabetes. That's the most incredible thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting about diabetes. We're, for the upcoming documentary that we're doing, Sweet Remedy, they have, we went and talked to the Tohono O'odham people, a tribal Native American group here in Arizona. And they're a group of people that used to be very, very healthy. And then with the import of convenience stores and fast food restaurants and supermarkets and them eating junk food, basically, they started to get diabetes, and now they have the largest rate of diabetes in the world. And we talked to them about that and about aspartame and about what they're doing about it. And really what it boils down to is remembering what the community, what individuals are to, what we are to each other. And as you had said before, empowering each other and empowering ourselves to take charge of our own health care and our own lives and being honest with each other and not relying on authority figures blindly to give us answers passively.
Well, what are the group of Indians going to do, this tribe? Are they aware of some of the things we talk about?
Oh, yes. There was one person who's the head of a group called HOCA there, which is, it stands for Tohono O'odham Community Action. And he, what he does every year is they have a farm for this group, and they harvest Native American foods that are all, by the way, in nature, in what they always used to eat before this community, you know, convenience stores and everything came into being in their lives. And those foods were designed by God and nature to balance the sugar levels in your body and help to control your blood sugar levels so that they don't fall out of whack. So it was very, very healthy for them. And what he's doing is he's planting seeds from these native foods. And at the harvest, they have this festival where they all gather together from the tribe. And each family gets this giant squash from the harvest. And they get a bag of tepiary beans. And they get some choyo cactus buds that are all some of these native foods. And they're distributed to the tribal members free by this community group. And they're starting to be more and more aware of what's important educationally.
Okay, well, basically, somebody just called in. They asked a question, is this sugar substitute called X-Y-L-A-T-O-L, xylitol?
Oh, xylitol.
Right. Is that safe?
You know, Dr. Blaylock talked about that, and he says that it is safe. There's some question about it being purely natural or pure or somewhat artificial, but it's from what I understand, it's a pretty safe substance.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question. What about Splenda? Because of course, this is supposedly this wonderful new sweetener that to avoid sugar. In fact, it's so good, it's made out of sugar. Go ahead, tell us about Splenda.
Well, from what I've been told, it's a chlorinated hydrocarbon similar to DDT in its molecular structure.
Right. And, of course, it's not good for you. Splenda is not good for you. There's a couple of things that are not too bad. What about Stevia?
Stevia is a great substance. We talked to Larry Hagman, of all people, who's a diabetic, and he uses Stevia, and he has found that it works great for him.
And I think that that's true, and I think you have to know what you can use. Stevia is good, and this other one that people called about is good. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you or have Corey answer your question. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Corey Brackett. Her DVD, it's both a video and a DVD, isn't it, Corey?
Well, yeah, it's a DVD that plays video.
In other words, you have a VHS version of it, just DVD?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand you. People can get it on VHS.
I'm sure we carry both of them. We think it's a very important thing because you need, of course, to be constantly made aware of the fact that they're poisoning the American people. And it's not that they don't know back in Washington, D.C. They have all the records. We've talked about all the records, of course, that Dr. Olney, I think was his name, he was a physician who spent, you know, 15 or 20 years studying this. And of course, the FDA had all of his records. And, of course, Dr. Olney did everything he could to discourage the FDA from legalizing this, but why most people just went right along with it. Why? Because, of course, they wanted to keep their jobs. And when Donald Rumsfeld twists people's arms, if they don't give any, breaks them, and that's the end of their career. So the people gave in, and in 1981, they legalized something. They knew push cancers and pathological obesity and diabetes and progressive neurological changes and mental disorders, and they're poisoning the American people with it, and they know exactly what they're doing. Well, it's about, we've got a John calling from Washington State. Hi, John. Do you have a question for our guest?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Well, I have a question for both of you or either of you. It's somewhat related, although it's not with respect to a sweetener. I was just wondering if or what you consider, do you consider it to be safe, the substance called melatonin, which is used as a sleep aid?
Do you have any thoughts at all on that, Corey?
That's a little bit out of my area of expertise, Dr. Stan, so maybe you can take this.
I really don't want to comment on it, John. I think it's safe, but I really don't want to comment on it. I would have to get my copy of Dr. Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. I think you'll get the right answer there.
Yeah, sure, he goes into it there.
He does go into that, and I think he thinks it's all right, but don't quote me on that. If you want to, you can call me off the air, and I can check it out for you.
Sure.
Anything else, John?
That is just about it. The only reason I brought up melatonin is that in the back of my mind, since it is a hormone that is normally produced in the human being, I was just wondering, is there ever any trouble in introducing a naturally produced hormone into the body? If the body should react to that, would it produce an autoimmune reaction against the producers of the same substance?
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got John calling from Washington State. He just asked if melatonin is safe, and I said I thought it was, but I suggested he call me off the air to get something more learned, because I'd have to look that up. Remember, some things I can be very, very positive about, but I'm constantly learning in this field of alternative medicine because it's so different than my medical training was. So, John, if you'd like to call me off the air, and you know, 800-544-8927, we'll come up with the answer for you, okay?
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan. And Corey.
God bless.
Thank
good
you
to
too.
Have
thank
you calling.
John.
What part of Washington are you from?
I'm from Spokane.
Okay, very good to have you with us. Bye-bye.
Well, nice to hear your program.
Thank you. And
thank you.
John, he's listening to us on the American Christian Network up there, and that wonderful network that we have the privilege of being on every evening.
I've got a couple of comments, Dr. Stan,
right
about
ahead.
The natural substances. We talked to Dr. Pauline Harding in Chicago, and she was mentioning that that molecules of the same composition can be different. For example, some people don't have any reactions when they ingest sugar that's derived from beets, but the same sugar molecule derived from corn produces a violent reaction in the same people, even though the molecules are chemically the same.
All right, and I'm sure that is true. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And one of our callers called in and asked the question I knew was going to come up. What about saccharin? How does that fit into the spectrum of sweeteners?
Way back when, saccharin was accused of causing bladder cancer in rats. From what I understand, it was in large, very large quantities that the rats were being fed, huge amounts. And it got pardoned by Bill Clinton when he was pardoning people and things at the end of his tenure. So it's now considered safe by the FDA. I personally don't. I would opt for stevia or xylitol instead.
I think what they basically did was they had animals. They may have been rats. I thought they were cats, but cats. They had a predisposition for bladder cancer. They fed them 6,000 times the normal daily dose of saccharin, and they did this specifically so they could do away with saccharin, so they could bring in aspartame. That's what it was all about. Oh, saccharin is terrible. You don't want it. It produces bladder cancer in cats. They didn't mention, of course, it was 6,000 times the normal dose. And then, of course, once they got the aspartame in, the NutraSweet in, then, of course, they reneged and they went back and said it's perfectly all right to take. So you have to understand that they use phony science to get something that is a deadly poison into your food. And what is this doing to the minds of our children? Well, I will tell you that If you test the children of our country at the end of the fourth grade and you compare the test results with those children tested from other countries where they don't have all the luxuries we have here and all the aspartame and artificial sweeteners and all the other things we're giving our children and so many of the vaccines and other products that create an inflammation in the brain, our children at the end of the fourth grade do poorly. At the end of the eighth grade, they do even worse, and when they graduate from high school, the average American high school graduate cannot compete with the children from countries throughout the world. We start at the bottom, and I don't believe this is all education. I believe they are intentionally harming the minds of the American people. I mean, no country in Europe will allow water fluoridation. They do it here, knowing full well it's going to take at least 10 points, 5 to 10 points off the IQ. They are damaging the minds of the American people, and so often people come to me and say, well, you know, I keep trying to tell people what's going on, but they don't want to hear. I fear that many of these people are incapable of understanding. There has been an intense effort to attack physically and physiologically the minds of our people. And I think it's a criminal act, but how are we going to get people to check out the facts and determine whether this is true or not? And if you want to know the truth about fluoride and water fluoridation, simply go to the site of the Union of the Engineers and Scientists and lawyers who work for the Environmental Protection Agency. That's NTEU 280, www.NTEU 280 for National Treasury Employers Union 280.org, and read their website. You realize what we're telling you is true. And the fact that the information can be concealed so effectively is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Well, our guest is Corey Brackett. Her video is Sweet Misery, and how soon will the new video be out, Corey?
Well, we're working on it right now. It's getting to be very exciting. I would say we're hoping by the end of summer it to be ready.
Well, I hope you'll get us a copy of that, and we'll certainly carry that one as well, because I think your work is so important, and I think in a DVD form or a video form, and actually seeing the people and talking to people, you know, who've really made dramatic improvements after getting off of aspartame. And remember, everybody is not going to improve so dramatically, but have you found that some people get better even if they don't improve completely?
Yes, I find that people get... better. I'm not quite sure what you're are you talking
I mean,
about everybody?
Some people, of course, you're, in your own case, you've completely recovered from really, sounds like a very advanced case of multiple sclerosis, but
mm-hmm.
Will some people, you know, who have MS get better but still maintain many of their original symptoms? It's just not quite so bad and they're able to function.
I think personally, Dr. Stan, what a lot of it boils down to is what you're willing to put up with. I mean, I know that's not true for everybody. But at all. But I think that it's really important never to give up and to keep trying and doing and improving yourself as much as you can. There was somebody that I knew that has what I often call traditional MS. She's in a wheelchair now. She her hands are pretty much twisted up. She can't think too clearly. And I asked her once, if she ever did anything with her diet. And she said, oh, yes. When I was first diagnosed, I was very, very careful with my diet. I ate very properly and very carefully. I didn't try not to ingest anything that was bad for me or anything that I read that was bad for me. I took every precaution possible, even if I wasn't certain. And she was doing very well. And then she said that she got stressed out, very severely stressed out over something. And she got, and at one point she just reached for a chocolate bar to eat and some junk food to eat, and she started to go downhill. So I think a lot of it has to do with constant vigilance and constant a balance between accepting what is happening to you and not accepting it, which sounds like a very, very fine line, and it is, but I think that that can help a lot.
Well, I'm sure that if you eat right and, of course, you avoid all the toxic things that we come in contact with, and specifically aspartame, you may have a dramatic improvement. You may not do as well as Corey has, But you know, these are all things that you need to do, and especially if this is related to chronic infection, because many times the human body can take care of the chronic infections through their immune system. But of course, you've got to stop poisoning it, and you've got to get off of the things that we're talking about last night or the night before that are really so caustic and toxic to the individual. But that's an entirely different subject. Tonight, we're simply talking about Corey and her experience talking to people who've had MS and who've had dramatic improvement after getting off of this neurotoxic substance, which is being used to poison the American people and create diabetes and pathological obesity and, yes, tumors and lymphomas and leukemias, and they know what it's doing. They just don't want the American people to know. And one of the most incredible stories in the world, Corey, when you tell people about this, what sort of response do you get if they haven't really heard it before?
Well, you know, it's really amazing, Dr. Sam. When we were first working on the documentary, I would tell people what we were working on, and the reaction more often than not was, why are you doing a documentary about artificial sweeteners? You know, they would be like very puzzled and, oh, of course it's safe, of course it's fine. And as time has gone by, what I'm hearing very often is, oh, yeah, I heard that was bad for you. Let me take a look at it. And people seem to be much more open to a differing opinion now. And it's very exciting to see.
And I think that really is so important. And I'm sure that a cumulative effect of certainly programs like ours and so many of the other talk show hosts who are getting this information out, and we're indeed fortunate in America, with all of the problems we have and with all of the control of the mass media, we still have an alternative voice here. We still have programs such as this and Christian networks and other networks that will carry our programs and similar programs. So unlike, say, in Great Britain, where there's almost no access to getting the truth out about what's going on, and in many parts of Europe and certainly in all the communist countries, here in America, why, we still do have some independent programming where we can reach the people and at least protect some of them from the disastrous effects of aspartame and MSG. And do you get at all into MSG and its effect as an excitotoxin?
Oh, yes. And that's, I'm very fascinated by talking to Jeffrey Smith, who has devoted a great portion of his life. He wrote a book called Seeds of Deception.
Right, we carry that book, too.
And he writes about GM foods. And I also talked to, Jack Samuels, who is the founder of truthinlabeling.org, and he talks about MSG. We also talked to the Feingold Association about food dyes, and they're very interesting. They did an experiment where they would bring children into their group who were eating a regular, standard American diet. And their handwriting oftentimes would be shaky, and they would juxtapose letters and put some letters backwards, and their handwriting was all screwed up. They put them on the Feingold program and had them eat the way that they were suggesting, took them off of things like food dyes and MSG and aspartame and so forth. And they recently came out with Do Not Take Aspartame, by the way, the Feingold Organization, which I was very happy to see. But the children's handwriting improved dramatically. And it was like night and day between the two. And we talked to them. So we talked to a lot of people about what, now that we know that there's a poisoned food supply that we're dealing with, what are people doing about that very knowledge? And how are we improving our lives?
And I think it's really so important to understand the danger of a genetically modified food, of the milk that comes from the recombinant bovine growth hormone, and the fact that it increases the incidence of cancer. And I don't drink anywhere near as much milk as I did before I understood that they know about this, and there really are people out there who understand that drinking milk increases the incidence of cancer, and they don't care. And 70% of all the milk we get today in the supermarket comes from Cows have been treated with this recombinant bovine growth hormone, and that's covered in Sidney and Jeffrey Smith's wonderful book entitled Seeds of Deception. And incidentally, we did an interview this afternoon with a woman who blocked the use of this recombinant growth hormone injections in cattle, in cows in Europe. And she actually almost single-handedly was able to expose this criminal activity. And in Europe, they don't use the recombinant bovine growth hormone, and at least their people are not being afflicted with cancer like they are here in the United States. And it's not that this isn't known. It's just that the average individual doesn't know that. And so many of the other things we're talking about with Corey this evening about the disastrous effects of aspartame and MSG. Well, Corey, do you have a website people can go to?
Yes, it's www.soundandfury.tv. TV is in television, and is all spelled out, and it's all one word, soundandfury.tv.
All right, very good. And of course, you can get the DVD there, or you can get it from us. What else do you have there on the website that would be of interest to people?
Well, we do all sorts of updates, and not too long ago I went to New Mexico and addressed the state senate there about aspartame, and we have the speech that I gave on my site. We also have updates on Sweet Remedies, so that's a great way to take a look at when it's coming out. We have Nutrition and Behavior by Dr. Russell Blaylock, like I mentioned before, on the site. We have a lot of information about things. We have a lot of links. We have an article by Dr. Blaylock about MS and aspartame on there.
All right, fine. And of course, does he definitely tie the two of them together? Does he have any idea how much of the MS is actually related to aspartame or aspartame-like excitotoxins?
Well, the problem with something like that is, in a lot of cases like this, there aren't really good statistics. Even though we can know down to the person, practically, how many people are in, you know, Jackson Hole, Mississippi, we don't know how many people are affected with aspartame. And it's a very difficult thing to actually ascertain percentages. Although I do know that as far as like brain tumor rates, for example, the year after aspartame was approved for use in carbonated beverages in 1983, in 1984 they had a jump of 10% of overall brain tumors, and with brain lymphomas they jumped 60%.
Well, Chris, the thing is that has the incidence of brain cancers on the rise? Is it increasing progressively?
Yes.
And we know the pathological obesity is a direct byproduct of ingestion of aspartame, and pathological obesity is increasing. I mean, we hear about this all the time from the media, but they never mention that all those people who are drinking the diet colas and the diet drinks to fight pathological obesity are actually promoting pathological obesity. And why won't they tell us that?
As I mentioned, that I really believe that a lot of that has to do with the media monopoly that's going on in this country.
And you actually dropped 70 pounds after you got off of the diet drinks?
Mm-hmm. Without trying to lose weight, whereas before, for years when I was on diet soda, I would try everything to lose weight and I couldn't do it. I just kept increasing my weight.
Yeah, because when you're drinking the diet soda, you're actually predisposing yourself towards, getting the pathological obesity. Well, our guest has been Corey Brackett, and we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. And of course, you really want to get this information on aspartame. Well, Corey, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What's the message you'd like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Dr. Stan, first of all, I want to say that I'm really grateful for programs like yours where people can go on and explain the research that they've done and talk to people about what's going on when, you know, we're not all taken up on, you know, Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise talking about, you know, some important issues. And so I really want to thank you.
It's my pleasure, Corey, and I appreciate you coming on with us.
Well, it's been my pleasure for sure.
All right, fine. And, of course, now your DVD will be available in the fall. And how is that going to be different than the one you did before?
Sleep Remedy is a lot more hopeful. It's a lot. It's got a much grander focus because, as I had mentioned, we go into MSG and food dyes and GM foods, whereas Sweet Misery just talked about aspartame. And it also talks about taking charge of our own health and lives, which I think is so very important, and looks very much at what's going on that's wrong with PR and the FDA and so forth that we can't seem to get around and except for through venues that are alternative where people can still have freedom of speech.
And I think it's so vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, that you find out what's going on and that you begin preparing to look after your own health. Because if you don't, who's going to? And if not now, when? So, you know, if you, we'll tell you in just a few minutes how to get some of the books, some of the information. And you read it, you check it out, but you need to go up on the Internet and you need to go to the websites. You must understand that there's a great deal of misinformation and disinformation on the web, and it is there for a very, very specific reason, and that is to confuse you so that you will not understand what is really going on. So we do hope that many of you out there will certainly get hold of the information and then help us get it out. If we could just convince the good people of America on one subject, that they are intentionally and purposely poisoning our children. If they could really understand that and accept that to be true, then they might begin to question so much of the other things, or so many of the other things that they've been told and taught and that they've been assured by their doctor is perfectly all right. And there's not one doctor in 1,000 who knows what we're saying tonight. And it's not because he doesn't want to get the truth, he doesn't want to know. It's just that the organized medicine and organized dentistry is not telling the American people the truth. Corey Brackett, thanks very much for being with us again this evening.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sam.
Good night. God bless you.
Good night. God bless you, too.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest of this evening is Corey Brackett. Her DVD, or VHS, is called Sweet Misery, and it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Now, we carry Dr. Russ Baylock's excellent book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, which covers not only aspartame but also MSG. Both excitotoxins both have the same disastrous effects. And, of course, they conceal the MSG in foods. They give it all sorts of artificial names just to confuse you. Now, Dr. Blaylock does cover this to some extent in his book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, which we think is a vitally important book for you to get. And then we carry Dr. Robert's books. He has two of them on aspartame. One is Aspartame, The Ignored Epidemic. And, of course, his other book on aspartame, name escapes me right at the present time. But you could ask for Dr. Robert's books on aspartame. And then, of course, we carry Jeffrey Smith's book, Seeds of Deception, that goes into how the genetically modified foods are creating cancers and disease and impotence and all sorts of problems in our people. And they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. We have a great four-tape set on genetically modified diseases, genetically engineered disease, I think is the title. And then, of course, we carry another book called Beware GMOs, Genetically Modified Food. You need to have this information, and you need to begin looking into diet, and you need to realize that you cannot depend upon the government. They're allowing poisons in your food that are going to poison you and going to poison your children. They're putting things in our water that are poisons, and specifically water fluoridation does not simply fluoride. There's lead in there, and there's arsenic, and there's cadmium and plutonium, radioactive plutonium. And if you check the blood of children who are drinking fluoridated water, the level of lead is always increased. There's no safe level of lead, in our children because it's extremely neurotoxic to the brain. And yet, for whatever reason, if the water in the community is fluoridated, the lead level in children always goes up, whether it's pulling the lead out of the solder or it is the fact that they really not using fluoride, they're using hydrofluorous silicic acid that contains lead, and they're putting it in the water supply. You say that can't be true? I suggest, ladies and gentlemen, you go to the website www.NTEU280.org. That's NTEU280.org. And that is the website of the unions, 11 unions of the people who work for the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, the lawyers, the engineers, the scientists, the doctors. They're trying to get the American people to understand they're being poisoned. 67% of our water supplies are being poisoned, and they can't get the word out because of the control of the media. Go to their website. Check it out. If we're not telling you the truth, it'll be obvious. If we are telling you the truth, then you've got to help us because they're poisoning our children. NTEU280.org. Then you need to get my talk on the hidden agenda. It's available in VHS. There's a syllabus that goes with all the scientific studies. You need to get both the syllabus and the VHS, and of course you get the two of them together, you'll get a decreased price. But the important thing is to get the information, to get the book, The Fluoride Deception, to understand how they're poisoning our children. And then if you want to know the relationship between autism and thimerosal in vaccines, there's a book, Evidence of Harm, which we carry. We have 4 tape sets on autism. We have 4 tape sets on mercury. You must understand that there are treatments for this terrible disease, autism, and there's an organized campaign to keep our children from being helped and to discourage you from getting chelated or treated for this terrible disease of autism, which has been intentionally produced. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We'll be back in just a moment for the next hour.